Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night with nothing to lose. Nothing to lose on a Friday fucking night. This is the place to be if you're not out clubbing and doing fun shit and getting fucked up. Then just sit around on your computer and listen to us and have nothing to lose with us here on a Friday night in May. Hot damn. All right, my co-host, Mr. Michael Gasinski. Michael Gasinski and, who is that crazy chick from Indiana, northern Indiana? What's your name? Oh, yes, Michelle Quinn, my co-host. I love him. Leave
Hola.
Him. And, yeah, hey, guys, good to
Hola,
hear from you. We got that music that we just heard there, that was from our featured guest tonight, Mr. Juice McCain. We'll be talking
Juice?
To him. Yeah, Juice McCain. We'll be talking to him shortly here.
Is that a cough I heard? Did I just hear
a
cough?
No coughing. No coughing tonight. You really, I mean, you really should, yeah. I think you should go into, you know, hospice or something for that at this point. That cough.
You need a transplant.
Lung transplant. I've got a cat that's on the verge of probably, like, expiring, so, you know, maybe his lungs will will be available here soon for you.
Is that the cat that sharts everywhere?
No, this is actually a cat that's older than that one. But
wow.
Yeah. So anyhow.
Sharting cat.
Sharting cat. You guys. All right. Seriously, though. Man. So tonight's our featured guest is Juice McCain. We're going to talk about his mixtapes, his music. He's got this American Me 4, I think, coming up here. You go to his website, and there's a countdown going and everything. We'll get to him here very shortly. But, you know, as always, everyone needs to remove their hats, remove their wigs, stand up, put your hand on your, you know, over your heart. And, you know, gosh, we got to do the Pledge of Allegiance. And, you know, I have a very special Pledge of Allegiance this time, a little different one. John Wayne. A John Wayne Pledge of Allegiance. It's very inspiring, and it will bring you all to tears. Yeah, you guys might cry after this. And then, you know, we'll move on here. But, yeah, we got to do our Pledge of Allegiance. All right, everyone stand up. Ready? Here we go. A one. One, two, three, four.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. What do those words mean to you? To me, they say, thank you, America, for your strength, for your courage, and for our freedom, which has been a beacon to the world for 200 years.
Of the United States of America.
Whose bright stars are 50 states, each bearing its own stamp of individuality. People, 200 million strong. People who have come to her from all corners of the earth.
And to the Republic for which it stands.
A land of laws with an ingenious system of checks and balances that allows no...
Yeah, you know, it's inspiring and all, but I can only handle so much of the Pledge of Allegiance. 50 states? Really? We only have 50 states? I thought we had at least, like, 51, 52, don't we have a couple of other little areas that are considering?
Those territories.
Yes, the territories. Yeah, didn't we, what was it, the Spanish-American War, we won those or something like that? Anyhow.
Guam, we have Puerto Rico.
Yes, Guam, and yeah. All right, so, whew, okay, wiping away the tears right now, wiping them away. Patriotic, great. Oh, man. All right, guys, you ready to do the show tonight? You guys ready to? Yeah, all right. Yeah, like I said, we have the opening music was by Juice McCain. Wow, you know, he seems like he's got a lot of really cool stuff going on, and it's going to be really fun to, you know, hear what he has to say and what he has.
He's been on tracks with what, Nas and Ice Cube.
Lil Wayne. And his music, I mean, gosh, what I've heard, I'm a fan. It's good stuff. So, with no further ado, let's bring on the one and only Mr. Juice McCain. Mr. Juice McCain, we are ready to have you on. Are you there? Mr. Juice McCain.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great,
how are
man.
You?
Good, how you doing?
Hey, you know what? I got to be honest right now. I'm shedding a tear. I'm trying to tell you. The whole Pledge of Allegiance, it got to me. I was just like, oh, my God, let me go ahead and just, you know. So it got to me.
Okay, we love you already. This is, oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like you already, too. That's great. Well, don't you remember, I mean, seriously, when you were growing up in grade school, didn't they make you do the Pledge of Allegiance every day?
Oh, you gotta really understand. Like for me, it was like to the maximum. You gotta understand. I come from a military background. My father was in the military, so you know, he was like on base, standing, looking at the flag, and they're saluting it every day. So trust me, I get it. I get it fully.
That's great. Wow. Oh, wow. So military background. So you traveled a lot as a kid.
Yes, I mean, yes, I did.
All right. Well, you know, our focus here tonight is American Me 4. I mean.
Yeah. We dropping the, you know, American Me 4, man. I got a campaign called American Me. And I dropped one, I dropped two, and, you know, each, you know, disc, I just got, like, more and more and more and more of a fan base. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, each one really, really kind of broke down exactly where I was kind of emotionally and visually at that particular time. You know what I mean? So
right.
I think that this last installment is called The Process, man. And it's just, you know, and people understand that there's really a process to getting to that successful level that you want to be at. You know what I mean? Like every level of success or achievement, man, there's always a process involved. And, you know, people got to really understand what that's about.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've been listening to I've listened to a whole bunch of the albums. I've listened to American Me, American Me 2, online and everything. That's really good stuff, man. I mean, explain to people. I mean, I don't think everyone understands what a mixtape is.
Right.
You know, as far as what you're doing. I mean, I'm
right.
sure people have that the whole like notion from the 80s. You know. But explain. I mean, I think a lot of people need to know, you know.
Yeah. I think actually, like, a mixtape basically is just something that while you're in the process of growing as an artist, putting your debut album together, it's just pieces of you that you kind of give to them, you know what I'm saying, that they can gravitate to you until that ultimate completion of your debut is done. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And you know, honestly, man, the whole mixtape, you know, circuit as far as the American Me campaign has been nothing but a, you know, pure success. I mean, you know, I got the opportunity just off of those mixtape installments, man, to travel the world and, you know, go to Japan and other type of countries and things like that to build my fan base one fan at a time. But like I said, it also, you know, puts them into an insight of who I am as an artist and actually what is there to come. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic, man. I know that there's a little YouTube video, your Dead Poets Society freestyle.
Yes, sir.
That's beautiful. I've been promoting that like the last two or three days. I was like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, wow, holy crap! I showed it to my kids. Even my kids, you know, kids. No, well, listen here. I love rap. I grew up in the late 80s. I'm an old man, by the way. I grew up, you know, the late 80s, N.W.A. and Ice Cube, you know, and Eazy-E and all that. And, you know, that was my thing. And I've always liked rap. I've always, you know, rap type music and everything. That's been my thing for years.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just wondering, what are some of your influences? I mean,
I mean, you know, of course, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, again, you know, like having, like, pioneers of, like, hip-hop, of course, you know, N.W.A., E, Ice Cube, you know, things like that. I mean, of course, that they were influential in, you know, my career, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, those type of artists are, like, cornerstones of this music. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, of course, you know, I'm a very big Nas fan. I'm, you know, a very big, you know, Ice Cube fan, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. a very big, you know, Jay-Z fan, you know, things like that. But I think one of the biggest things about me, man, is I've been around the world and I got to see things that I'm just a fan of great music in general. Like my you know, tape deck, you know, I got Bon Jovi in there. You know what I mean? I got. I got Bon Jovi in there. I got the new Justin Timberlake album in there. You know.
Right.
It all goes with it, Juice. I mean, the new LL Cool J album has Eddie Van Halen on a couple tracks. So.
Exactly. You know, it's funny that you say that because I have a record for my album that I talked to my manager about, and I was like, yo, maybe we can get Slash to come in here and jump on the guitar or something like that. I mean, like, as far as me growing as a hip-hop artist,
uh-huh.
I'm trying to just grow as an artist in general. Like, if I can
right.
push some borderlines and maybe cross-market and cross-promote some things that, you know, can take my music to new heights, why not do it?
Exactly.
Right.
That's beautiful. Exactly. I agree 100%. That,
well,
yes. So, man, okay. So, well, tell us. I read your bio and everything, and you've been,
right.
like you said, you've been all around the world. You've been involved with all these other hip-hop artists or whatnot and musicians. I mean, tell us a little bit about some of those experiences. I mean, that to me is very intriguing. You know, that's
yeah,
not...
Yeah. It was, like I said, I mean, you know, for people who don't know, you know, my introduction into this particular industry was, lifted by an artist named, you know, The Game.
The Game,
who, was signed to, was signed to G-Unit,
mm-hmm.
and everything like that. You know, he came out to my city, Phoenix, Arizona, and he ended up hearing a mixtape on me, man, and then I got a phone call and a plane ticket the next day.
That's amazing.
A lot of those particular artists like Nas's and Kanye West and things like that, I met them through Game. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
it was just like a very, very, you know, shocking experience for myself, you know what I mean? Because it just like, you know, I mean, I just went from, you know, sitting in a, college dorm room putting Kanye in my tape deck, and then next thing you know, I wake up the next day and go to L.A. and I walk into a studio and he's sitting right there. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So
that's amazing. That is a
cool
shit.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. It was something that was kind of like monumental. But again, Game, you know, he took me up under his wing for about
mm-hmm.
2 years. You know, he was like, you know, I'm gonna show you how to make an album. I'm gonna take you on tour. I'm gonna introduce
mm-hmm.
you to the right people. So when it's time to put your album together, you know what I'm saying, you know how to do it. You have the connections, and it should be an easy process for you to succeed.
Wow.
So again, it all falls back into there's a reason why I call my last mixtape The Process. You know what I'm saying?
Process.
So
you know, I wanna know about that process of putting together an album. What's that?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's you know, honestly, everybody has their own, you know, particular ways of doing it. One thing about me, man, is I'm big on vibe. I'm big on, you know, energy, and I'm big on, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, life situations and really speaking about things that I experienced, things that I went through. You know what I'm saying, and also things that I'm going through currently. So, I mean, it takes you know a lot of vision. You know what I'm saying. It takes a lot of, listening and networking with different producers and really trying to create the sound that you think that can motivate you to bring out the thoughts that's in your mind on, you know, disc very vividly. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying. So, I mean, you know, for me, man, it's just like it's been I ain't gonna say a long process, but. You know, it's been a nice little journey, and I'm glad I'm at the 95 percentile ratio of my album, and I just can't wait for everybody to hear the mixtape and then, you know, next debut album.
That's awesome. So what is the creative process like for you? I mean,
honestly, I'm very focused, but I'm also very freely. You know what I'm saying? Like,
uh-huh.
you know, I get into, you know, man, I keep good energy and good people around me. That's like one of the biggest things that you need to have in that creative process. Secondly, man, is just having, you know, the music, you know what I'm saying, to,
mm-hmm.
to motivate you to really create that vision on what you want to say. And you go ahead, man, you get a couple bottles of Patron, open up the door and let God, honestly speaking, you know, a couple shots of Patron, open up the door and let God in, and then you make magic, you know?
Make magic. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I down the gut vodka quite often to help me with my creativity. But yeah, well, that's really cool to hear, man. And you know, I mean, just the creative process to me, I find very intriguing. I mean, do you like think of the lyrics first or the music, the beats? I mean, to me, you know, I'm a writer. I'm more of a writer type person, you know. So it intrigues me to hear what the process is for a musician such as you know, such as yourself. I mean, that,
and you know what? It, like, again, it's very, it just depends on, like, how I feel as a person. I mean, there'll be times I'll just be driving in the car, you know what I'm saying, and I'll just have, you know, a vision of something, and then I'll just open up the, you know, the iPhone, go to the notepad, and just start putting my, you know, emotions on, you know, the notes. But then again, you know, you walk into a studio, man, and you hear a specific beat, and you just feel it, and it'll take you somewhere.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, I'm very, very organic with the particular situation. You know what I'm saying? I'm all about my vibe.
Right,
and
okay.
I really don't believe in forcing music.
Some on freestyles in the studio, too.
Yeah, all of that. You know what I'm saying? It's just all about you just being very creative about your art and getting your vision out to the world. I mean, you know, nobody can really tell you what's right and wrong. At the end of the day, man, it's just how you feel and what you want the world to see and hear, you know?
Right, absolutely. I agree. So I'm intrigued with the Black Wall Street label. I mean, I know there's that name and everything itself, you know, has a history, you know. I guess, what was it? It was like some sort of like...
Oklahoma?
Yeah, Oklahoma type thing during the oil boom of the 1920s or something like that, the Black Wall Street. I mean, that I find that intriguing too. I mean, that's
yeah.
Yeah.
It was something actually when I first signed up a game, you know, it's crazy because it kind of intrigued me too because, you know, it was something that I did learn about in college. So I kind of had to ask him. I was like, you know, what was your, you know, particular reason, you know, naming your brand and your company the Black Wall Street?
Right.
And, you know, he gave me the rundown, man. He was like, you know, his grandmother was a part of that, you know, situation.
Really?
And,
wow. I find that fascinating. Okay.
Yeah, so you know, I think it was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to be exact.
Yeah.
And you know, he just said that he just studied up on it and read through it, man, and he just felt like, you know, he needed to do something, you know, and you know, named it the Black Wall Street, and that's what it is.
That's cool. Very cool, man. Wow.
Yeah.
So, all right. I mean, your website, you know. 44, the countdown's going.
Yeah.
And it said, like, tour dates or whatever, you know, coming up.
Yeah.
Do you have any tour dates or ideas of when or where you will be?
Yeah.
I mean.
We got we got a lot going on. Like I said, we're dropping the mixtape on July 1st, of course.
Right, July 1st.
July 4th weekend, man. You know what I'm saying? Of course, I'm going to be, you know, in my city, Phoenix, Arizona, we're going to do a you know, a mixtape release party, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to do a couple of hostings. Me, Game, the whole Black Wall Street. Actually, we're doing a whole European tour in July. Of course, we're going to London, you know what I'm saying, Sweden, Norway, you know, all those particular spots. Hopefully, exactly as soon as I get back, then we're going to drop the first official single off my debut album, which is going to feature T.I. It's going to be called Melrose. So we got a lot of great energy and, you know, great music and great things up our sleeve, you know?
Right on.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I've got one for you. You talk about influences, and I would have to think, how does – okay, you said you were brought up in a military background, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. How does that – or does that have any influence on the stuff that you're doing today?
What you say? Does it?
Does it? Or is there any way that it can be separated? Because you know, when you grow up, it, you know, that's a part of you.
Yeah. Of course. Honestly, man, the whole military thing is really kind of what got me in, you know, to creating music. You know, you got to understand, like, you know, I never really was in one particular state more than maybe 2 years. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, you know, and plus being the only child, man, like I had to kind of like create my own fun. I had to create my own. So what I did was, man, I just used music as kind of like a getaway, you know what I'm saying, to kind of just be very artistic. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, you know, the military gave me the advantage as a child to travel these different states and in different countries to open up my mind to see things that I can speak about more than just the average artist. You know, some people get confined into this rapping about, you know, their block and, you know, their street or, you know, just the little, you know, radius that they've seen. But But like myself, I had the opportunity to tour across the globe. You know what I mean? I could talk about really eating sushi with, you know, in Japan. And, you know, I can really talk about, you know, things that a lot of people, you know, haven't even had the opportunity to experience. So the military background really, really did help me, you know, create a broader vision than normal.
That's fantastic. So did, or I started to ask, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, has it always been rap for you, or were you interested in other types of music, you know, since you haven't experienced anything?
Right. Yeah, no. I mean, I was just always nice with words, even though, like I said, I was a big fan of just good music in general. You know, I mean, shit, my mom and dad used to play the Jackson 5 and, you know, Anita Baker. And like I said, I mean, you know, my uncles and them would come in rocking the Bon Jovi and the David Lee Roth and the Aerosmith. So, you know, I was very, very musically rounded. So, like I said, it just came down to the art of creating good music. You know what I'm saying? And it just happened to be that I was nice with my words, and that's how the rap thing came about.
Very cool.
Excellent. Now,
yeah.
You know, I got a question. You know, when it comes to, you know, I've read, you know, I see you've collaborated with Nas and Ice Cube and all these people. You know,
right.
When you do a collaboration piece, do you guys go in the studio together? Or do you go in there by yourself after they've already laid down a track or something?
You know what? Like, currently now, it just depends. I mean, like I said, like, as much as artists you would like to create hand-on-hand with the person, because, like I said, it's just organic. You know what I'm saying? You want to get into the creative process and flow with them. But sometimes, you know, these particular artists' schedules don't allow that, or even your schedule
doesn't
allow that. You know what I mean? So sometimes you have to, you know, get into the studio, create the record, finish it, and envision them being on it. Then you just have your manager contact their manager, email it to them. And like I said, hopefully within the time frame you need to dump by, they send it back.
Is that intimidating for you, you know, to be on a track with somebody like that?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know what I'm saying? I mean, especially people that – I mean, early on, I mean, again, it was very intimidating for me because, like I said, I mean, these were people that I was listening to in my, you know, tape deck. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, you know, Nas, the first time I met, there's only been two people in this industry that I've been kind of starstruck by. And like I said, the first time I met Nas, I was silent. I'm shy right now talking about it.
I probably pissed myself, you know.
Right. Like, I really didn't even know how to even go about that particular situation. You know what I mean? And even Ice Cube. You know, actually Game set up a meeting with Ice Cube, and he, like, surprised me because Game know how Ice Cube is, like, a real big influence in my career. But, like, you know, after you get the jitters out, man, it's showtime. You got to start Kobe Bryant shit. Right. You got to let them know that you can play on the same court as them, and you just got to get to work.
But even Game himself, he's big too. I mean, he's not just, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, trust me, like the first, I want to say it took me at least a month to really, really, really understand what the hell was going on. Like, I mean, I flew to L.A. and he picked me up from the airport. Like, I was just like, I'm really sitting in this kid's car. I'm really, like, he just picked me up from the airport. I was in amazement for about 30 days. I'm staying at his house. You know what I'm saying? I'm, you know, he's like, hey, there goes a guest bedroom. Go ahead and get comfortable. You know what I mean?
Damn.
It was crazy to me. But at the end of the day, man, you know, you got to get like Eminem sometime and lose yourself in the moment and take advantage of that opportunity so you can, you know, be that next star, I guess.
Right.
That is awesome.
I would, like I said, I'd piss myself, you know, meeting someone like Nas or Ice Cube. I'd freeze up, dude. I wouldn't know what to say.
No, trust me. I did a couple times, you know what I'm saying? I was kind of, like I said, starstruck about the particular
situation.
But, you know, after a while, man, you just got to get to the shit, man. You got to, hey, make it happen or you're going to get sent back on that plane. And you don't want that.
Right. So, well, okay, I'm kind of curious. Okay, so you're currently residing in Arizona, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, but I'm always out in Los Angeles, California.
Really? Okay. And you're originally from Pennsylvania, or you're born in Pennsylvania, or?
Yeah, I was born in Pennsylvania, but I was raised in Phoenix.
Wow. Okay. So, just curious. Okay. So you really didn't grow up in Pennsylvania at all. You don't have any recollection of that. Well,
Yeah, no, half of my family, you know what I'm saying, is in Pennsylvania, and the other half is in Phoenix. So I said, you know, my mom and dad, everybody was born there, grandma, grandparents, myself, I was born there. Like I said, my dad joined the military, and they sent him to Luke Air Force Base in Phoenix. You know what I mean? So, you know, I was there for, you know, a couple years, and then we ended up moving overseas, and then we ended up, you know, coming back. I call Phoenix, Arizona my home because, you know, I spent majority of my years at that particular place, you know?
Right. So, I mean, what's the scene like there in Arizona and Phoenix in that area as far as, like, you know, music shows, et cetera?
And you know what? Arizona's really starting to cultivate and really come into a real good scene. I mean, you know, I think we're probably like the fourth or fifth, largest city growing at this particular moment.
Yeah.
I think right now the energy and everything that's really kind of going on is really starting to, you know, progress. You got myself, you got a couple other artists out in Phoenix really creating some buzz and really, you know, bringing some light to that scene. You know what I mean? So I give Phoenix a couple more years, and I think that we'll be in our own classification, like a L.A., a New York, a Miami.
Really?
Or like a, yeah, Texas.
Wow.
A lot of talent, man. A lot of talent. And like I said, it's just, you know, creating our scene, you know.
All right.
Creating our fan at a time.
Man, okay. So Phoenix. So we
sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask, is there a particular defining sound coming from Phoenix? You know, because I remember, and it's been years, so please forgive me. You know, you've got the East Coast, and you've got the Dirty South, and, you know, from what I can remember, what distinguishes the Phoenix sound, do you think?
And, you know what? Phoenix right now is, I think that we're slowly creating our own sound. I think that because we don't have as many outlets as those particular cities at the moment. Like, people got to understand that, you know, like radio stations, for an example. I mean, you know, the biggest, I want to say, radio station on the West Coast is probably Power 106 out there in L.A. So, of course, when you have cities like Arizona, you know what I'm saying, New Mexico, Colorado, and things like that, they all follow the same format as that radio does. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, again, you know, we don't have a real identity yet, but we're shaping it. It's coming. You know what I'm saying? It's coming.
Well, I don't doubt it.
I was wondering about that myself. You know, whether it's more West Coast or more East Coast. You know, you being from Pennsylvania.
Right. Well, the good thing about that is I think that that's my strength. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, I'm one of the few artists, like, it's, you know, similar to Game, for example. You know, I'm one of the few artists that whenever I go on the East Coast, you know what I mean, I can fit right in, you know, musically, you know what I mean, on the streets, whatever. But also, you know, you put me on the West Coast, too, I can do the same thing. And I think that for myself, you know, that's just more of an upside for me to generate that fan base. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can really just, you know, mold and you know, continuously grow on that. So I think that that's a plus for myself.
Nice. Well, man, hey, do you mind if we go ahead and play another one of your songs here real quick, and then we'll come right back?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right. We're going to go ahead and play, here we go. Another Juice McCain song here coming right up. My Light, My Light.
My Light.
Got a little thicker, got a little really got the shining, nigga. I'm arrogant as Billy D. And the nigga that you talk about is really me. You should have fucked when I was down, but not now, bitch. I'm running the town. I'm out, yeah.
Tonight, our featured guest is Mr. Juice McCain, and he's talking about all his, he's a musician from Arizona, and wow, yeah, that was his music there, just this last song and everything. We have some, actually we have some callers. Mr. Juice, would you be willing to talk to any callers here, or?
Of course. I'm always about that.
We've got some callers here. I'm going to go ahead and bring these callers on. All right. Let's see what we got here. 323 area code. You are on. Would you have any questions for Mr. Juice McCain?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey Juice, what's the McCain for in your name?
Man, you know what's crazy is I'm from Phoenix AZ, bruh. And I did an interview out there on Power 98.3. And it's kind of crazy, man, because I do a lot of positive things for my city and for the community, you know what I'm saying? And my man was like, yo, like, you really running the state, bro. We're gonna start calling you Jay McCain, Juice McCain. And I thought it was kind of funny at first. And the next thing you know what I'm saying, people just in the city start calling me Juice McCain. So I always let people know, man, like, at the end of the day, bro, I know we got a John McCain, but I'm trying to do for my city and for, you know, the cultures and peoples for what he can do. And like I said, man, I'm really out there just trying to high-five, kick babies, and do positive shit for the city to uplift and let people know what we got going on, bro.
That's what's up. Hey, Juice, what's up, man? It's Jinx, man. What's good, bro?
Oh, man, what's good with you, boss? What's up with L.A. life, daddy?
Hey, man, all the fans listening to the Juice, man, this is the hardest working dude I ever met in my life, man. I'm Jinx Black Wall Street, man. I'm in the studio with this dude all the time, I mean, it's when we leave the studio, it's 2-3 in the morning. Not even 2-3 in the morning. It's like 7 in the morning, man. And my God, I got to go home to family, but I stay there with my guy, man. And the fans need to appreciate all the work ethic this guy puts in, man.
Man, you already know what it is, OG, bro. You know, appreciate you grinding it out with me. You know what I'm saying? You already know where we at with it, Daddy. We one hit away, and we about to be the fuck out of here. So you already know. Excuse me for cussing on radio, baby, but you know where we at, though.
Hey, that's real, man. I just want to send some love, man. I'll holler at you in a minute, J.U.
All good.
Well, that's awesome. Hey, thanks for calling in. And, you know, I find that – so you work with Juice in the studio. I find that very intriguing. I mean, what's that dynamic like? In the studio, you say you spend many hours. I mean, I find that very intriguing, and I think a lot of people listening would find that intriguing as well. I mean, the whole process. I mean, it's the creative process. It
really is. But you know, Juice, he knows where his music is going. He knows what he wants to hear. Like he like one of the only guys I know that brings his engineer in. It's only like one engineer he works with that know his sound. You know, a lot of other rappers they go in the studio and it's an engineer that's work for the studio, and they kind of just work with him. But this is one of the guys, his engineer comes wherever he goes. So his engineer's not even in L.A. So when he's in L.A., his engineer's coming with him.
Really? Okay. Well, okay, here's another thing. For people who aren't so, you know, familiar with the jargon or whatever, what exactly is an engineer? When you say engineer, I mean, there's some people who wouldn't know what that means.
I mean, to me, man, you know, engineer is the most important piece to your project, and I want to give a shout out to my engineer Justin Salters. You know what I'm saying? He got a great ear. You know what I mean? He's very nice at what he do. But for people who don't know what an engineer is, man, he's the person who presses them buttons and put a little bit of that glaze on me to make me sound like $1 million. You feel me?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he's the one who makes, you know, who puts everything together after I get done getting my expression out on, you know, on
TV.
So
he's number two. He's just as important as you are.
Man, I say it all the time. He's more important than me because, like I said, at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, he makes it sound how it is supposed to sound. But like I said, I want to give a shout out to my man Justin Salters out there, man. Great dude, great engineer. Right now we, you know, cooking up, about to make history for y'all. So salute to you, bro.
Yeah, Justin, them two, like the process, it only could be Juice and the engineer. Everybody else is kind of obsolete. You know, we're there for the support. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, I've been in the studio with Game and my whole camp, but.
Uh-huh.
When Juice is in the studio, it's not a lot of women, and you know it's business first. You know, it may be one or two females that's with somebody, but other than that, it's not a party scene like you see these other rappers. I mean, we go in and it's about business at the end of the day, and we get it done. I mean, after we take off and we get this multi platinum album done, and then we might have some fun. But other than that, you know, it's grind time.
Excellent. Excellent. See, I find it, you know, I find the whole creative process very fascinating. I personally went to film school, and I know how much goes into like putting together a film and stuff like that. It's a very very much a collaborative like process, and I assume that, you know, being a musician and putting together an album, a mixtape or whatnot, is the same thing. And, you know, I find it very intriguing. You know, you guys talking about engineers or whatever, and an engineer, I guess, is the guy who's, like, mixing it. I mean, like, I just want a little more, like, a little more, let me know a little more about what an engineer is. I mean, I just a little bit more. Can you guys elaborate a little bit? I mean,
he's the guy, he pushes record. So if you don't push record, you're not going to hear anything. You know,
he just pushes record.
Hey, here's what a crazy thing. In a nutshell, that's exactly what it is. But listen, don't nothing happen without that guy.
Right.
Point blank.
Now,
okay.
That guy.
Now,
okay.
How is that different from a producer?
Say it again?
How is that different from
a producer?
A producer, I'm a producer. And the difference is in the producer, like a producer is kind of hands on with the artist and knows the sound that he wants to hear from the artist. Now it's a difference. It's a lot of beat makers. A beat maker to me is you send the beat over and he's going to do whatever he wants to it and he sends it back. But the producer is more hands on. He's with the creative process. Okay, I want you to sound like this, or you know, say it like this. More of a, you know, I always base things on how Dre is. You know, he wants
right.
to hear, okay, don't say it like this, say it like this. You know, put a little drag in it, or, you know, however you want to, how you want to say it. But it's totally different from the engineer. The engineer is going to put
a
that
producer,
little effect on your voice.
A producer will take a good record and make it great.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what a producer. Dr. Dre is a producer. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Hands down.
A record that an artist does
uh-huh.
and make it great.
All right, excellent. Hey, it looks like we've got another caller here. You guys up for hanging out and taking some more questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
I
got a little bit more time. Let's do it.
All right, absolutely. All right, we got a caller from the 602 area code. 602, you're on. Hello. Do you have any questions for Juice McCain?
What up? What's happening?
How are you, bro? How are you?
Chilling, man, hearing y'all. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
That's
all
I
love, bro.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You like what you hear, man, or what?
Yeah, man, all the time since day one. I've been down with Black Wall, you guys, since day one, man.
That's what's up, love,
man. We appreciate that, bro. Like I said, make sure you know you log on to www.juicemccain.com for all the mixtapes, man, and be on the lookout, man, July 1st for that American Me for the Process, baby.
Stay with us, man. We gonna shock the world, man.
You already know, man. T.E.A. Black Wall all day.
Appreciate it.
Man, appreciate you, bro.
Yeah. Okay, caller, do you have any specific questions for Juice McCain or anything or any shout-out? I mean, beyond the shout-outs, anything you would like to talk about or discuss?
I want to know if there will ever be a Snoop and Juice McCain record in the future.
Oh, that's my big homie right there. You know what I mean? Snoop is, I mean, every time I see Snoop, man, it's always love. You know what I mean? And honestly, you know,
Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg. That's my favorite rapper of all time.
I need the original Snoop Dogg. But I'll tell you a secret, brother. I've always envisioned getting Snoop and asking him, can we remake Gin and Juice? Real talk. That would just be, I mean, come on. That's an automatic, you know what I'm saying, Matt Kemp. That's out the park right there, brother. That's a home run waiting to happen, baby.
Exactly. That's great. Gin and Juice. I mean, that's a classic right there.
Yeah, and the pun's intended with that one.
Right.
No.
So is there a lot of Gin and Juice involved, like, in the studio while creating an album or recording it?
Oh, my God. I don't even know why you say that. It's no gin. It's a lot of what, Jay, what you on now? You on that – what are we on?
I'm on that Don Julio 1942 right now. We got a lot of that.
Don Julio.
On the building.
I know it was a year, but he switches up on a Remy 15 something. He's a big year dude, so it got to be old.
That's the Remy 1738, the Don Julio 1942. You know,
I know it's a lot of dates on the bottom when it comes to the
working process.
Man.
So you drinking shots? You drink it straight up? How you drink it?
I mean, honestly, man, it just, you know, depends on my vibe. You know, if we got a couple pretty ladies in, you know, we go ahead and mix it up a little bit, throw a little Sprite.
No, he's lying, y'all, man. The first got to be a shot. He makes you take a shot. Soon as you come in, you don't even, like, if I bring a lady friend in, it's like, he don't even ask her name first. Shot, you got to take a shot before you even sit down.
That's great.
Oh, man.
I'm serious, man. That's how it is.
Oh, shit.
Brian doesn't do Don Julio. He does what he calls poetry bombs.
What is grenade?
Poetry
that?
Grenade, yeah. It's you get a little
grenades.
A little bottle of Diet Pepsi, and you take out, you pour out half the Diet Pepsi and fill it with, like, 80, 90 proof vodka the rest of the way, you know.
Oh, wow.
Poetry grenade. But anyhow.
Hey, let me say this. And J.U. is one of the dudes that you guys don't know in Arizona. He has his own drink out there in a couple of restaurants, man. He got a couple of drinks. I think we went to Boise. We had a show in Boise, and I came through AC to scoop him up and to hit the road. And we stopped at one of the restaurants. I'm not familiar with it, but he got his own drink. I mean, like on the menu.
Really? What's it called?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, what's
it's
called? Yeah,
it's called a J.U. Ice. Like that. Yeah.
J.U. Ice. I dig it. That's great.
How's it made?
Yeah, what's it comprised of? I mean,
I mean, okay, I'll tell you a little bit. I can't tell you, you know, everything because I can't have you guys going through your city, you know what I'm saying, making money off that, all right? But,
is it a vodka drink? Is it a rum drink? Or
no, it's vodka.
Vodka.
Oh, okay.
My favorite.
Vodka.
Ding, 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 ding.
We got vodka.
Mm-hmm.
We got a little bit of ruby red squirt. We got a little bit of mango orange, simply orange, and then we got the secret ingredients, which I can't tell you. But
what kind of restaurants is it? Steakhouses? Is it bars? What kind of restaurants?
No, they're in a couple bars. You know what I'm saying? There's one out there. It's called Tonic. You know what I'm saying? Out there in Phoenix, Arizona, man. That you know hold me all the way down. There's another spot called Juan Jaime's. You know what I mean? It stands for tacos and tequila. You know, so you know we moving around a little bit, man.
Yeah. Hey, juice is kind of a big deal these days, man. Y'all better get on the TEA bandwagon, man, for this guy Blow. He's on his way, man.
Hey,
what is it? The sister to the Patron? What is that, J.U.?
Patrice?
Patrice. That's
the
drink.
Yeah.
That's
Patrice
what it's
for the
Patron,
ladies.
But it's for the ladies, yeah.
That's great,
man. Honestly, though, hey, whenever I'm in your guys' city, whenever you guys was talking about with that little diet, the Diet Coke and the half a bottle of the 90%, whatever, I don't know
that's
if I want to try that, brother.
That's Brian all the way.
Oh, it's pretty hardcore, to be honest. I sneak it. I make them all the time. They're called poacher grenades. I sneak them all the time into, like, Starbucks and stuff. I'll sit there and pretend like, you know, I'm drinking coffee and stuff. I'll sit there at Starbucks, you know, writing and working on poetry and writing and other...
You're an alcoholic.
Listen, the way that you just made that sound,
uh-huh.
I think you should change the name of that shit to Jet Fuel, because it sounds strong as hell.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, I like that, because that's the way it makes me feel, I feel. It gets me high. I mean... you get halfway through one of them, and I feel fucking beautiful and high. But yeah.
I got a question for you, Juice. What gives you the drive every day? I mean, what is your mission? What do you want to accomplish? I mean, are you doing it for kids? Are you doing it for your family? Are you doing it for yourself?
Right. My biggest motivation, of course, you know what I'm saying, is my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always been a person growing up, man. Like, you know, I'm probably one of the most motivated people that you could ever meet. I just have the hunger for more, you know what I mean? And, you know, I just want to see good people win, good people succeed and live life how they're supposed to live life. You know what I mean? And I believe that God blessed me with a talent that I can reach many people, you know what I'm saying, and help motivate them to achieve whatever they set their mind to as well. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's you know music is very therapeutic for me, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I really, yes, it's very, very therapeutic for me, man. Like, I really, you know, I go through the daily struggles just like everybody else does, but at the end of the day, man, I put it into a form to put it out on paper so the world can understand my vision, my hunger, my strive, and even my, you know, pain at times. So, like I said, the overall goal, man, is just to make sure that everybody around me or who's ever believed in me or who's ever came in contact with me, man, that we really overachieve and live life how we're supposed to live, man. And that's like kings
right
and queens at the end of the day.
Right on. I hope you get your multi-platinum record, man. I hope it happens.
Man, hey, I'm telling you, hey, honestly, hey, remember me telling you this day right here, I'm one record away from that, brother, and when I do, I'm going to come to your city, and we're going to have some Jet Fuel.
But, hey, but get caught up, you know, and it can get caught up in shit, man, and it never happens, you know. Like, my favorite rapper, he's been caught up, you know, with record contract after record contract, and it just never happens for him. So there's a guy named Crooked Eye. Crooked Eye.
Oh, that's my – hey, it's so – man, speaking of – man, shout out to my big homie Crooked Eye out there. Me and Crooked Eye actually just had dinner the other day.
Really?
Yeah, Crooked Eye's like, you know, he's one of the few people, man, who's been – it's so funny that you even say that because, you know, Crooked Eye's been one of the most instrumental people in my career to give me guidance to maintain my patience.
He has been screwed so many times, I think, man.
Yeah. He's told me, I mean, like, honestly speaking, man, you know, again, shout out to my big homie Crooked. You know, Crooked has really told me his situations from when he was at Death Row and, you know, everything that, you know, kind of happened and things like that. Like, Crooked is a real class act artist, man, and a real class act individual, man. Like, he's blessed, you know what I'm saying, with, like, a real solid talent. Crooked Eye will shortly be one of the top artists that you will forever hear about, man, because the dude is that gifted.
He should have been years ago, as far as I'm concerned. He should have been years ago. But like you said, with Death Row and all that shit, he got locked up with them, and he wasn't able to get out of his contract.
Right. Right.
I don't know, man.
Crooked's good. But like I said, man, you know, God bless him, though, man. You know, they formed the super group Slaughterhouse. You know what I'm saying? They dropped two albums. I know right now that they're all heading out to, I want to say, New York, working on their third album. So, I mean, you know, he's been blessed to be a part of some major things. But like I said, I think when it's all said and done, when he drops his, you know, official debut album, man, I think that the world will really understand that dude's vision, because the dude is dope.
Dude, it's unreal, man. Unreal. He's got definitely has skills.
Yeah, he does.
All right, well, Juice McCain, I mean,
yes.
Wow, this has been really great. I am so glad to have you on here, and, you know, I think you might have a whole new audience here.
Yeah, be sure and give your website, Juice, so that way people know where to go to find you.
Yeah, I got you, man. Everybody out there right now, man, you in tune to your man, Juice McCain. Holding it all the way down, the heir to the Black Wall Street Dynasty, Mr. T.E.A. in the flesh. If you want to follow me, man, make sure you log on to Twitter. I'm at IamJuice, of course. And make sure you log on, man, to my own personal website, www.juicemccain.com.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up for all the latest features on tours, music, merchandise, giveaways, and things like that. And plus, you know, my day-to-day information, man. So, again, man, stay tuned to your boy. The American Me for the Process coming out July 1st. I'm about to come to a city near you, high five, kiss babies, and do all that positive shit. So, you know,
you really going to kiss babies or maybe just punch them in the throat?
Hey, I'm not just campaigning. I'm out there campaigning one fan at a time, baby. That's what we got to do. You know what I mean?
That's beautiful. Yeah,
it's the little people that get you where you're going, right?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? The
beautiful.
The little things make up the bigger picture, brother.
Beautiful, Juice. Seriously, I'm so glad to have you on here tonight and to feature you. And you know what? I'm a fan. I'm a fan, and I think a lot of other people are going to be fans too now of your work and everything. You know, I know my kids love your Dead Poet Society freestyle video. Both my kids, and they're age 6 and 4, and they saw it and they're like, yeah, because they like rap, because I like rap. So it's beautiful. It's beautiful, man. And seriously, you're. I mean, what you're doing and everything is awesome. Your work, just beautiful having you on here, and thank you so much. And I love having artists like this on, you know, the filmmakers, rappers, musicians, whatnot, just awesome. And, you know, I love, you know, all the arts. I mean, the arts, period, you know. And, man, thank you so much. And you know what?
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, stay in touch.
Thanks for being on, Juice, man. It was real. Thanks.
Yeah, really.
Good,
stay in touch,
like I said,
and you know, I think you made a whole bunch of new fans, and that's what's all about.
Like I said, man, whenever I come to your guys' city, though, we're really gonna get on that jet fuel, though. All right?
And we should. Hey, when your album drops, dude, you want to do the show again and stuff, get it out there, let us know.
Yeah,
man, I appreciate you guys, man. I hope y'all have a good week. All right?
Absolutely.
Hey,
you too, man. Take it easy.
Thanks, dude.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. All righty. So we will go to a quick break here with a little Puff the Magic Dragon.
We'll
be right back for the rest of the show. Anybody else out there still want to stay on and talk with us? Feel free to.
In a land called Honolulu, little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Pop and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Pop the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called
Motherfucking dragon. Absolutely. Wow. Okay, so, yeah. Tonight, you know, our featured guest was Mr. Juice McCain. Great musician,
Juice.
Producer, and everything. Wow. Just blew me away.
Hey, man, that was cool that he had dinner with Crooked Eye. That was good shit. I really thought no one's heard of Crooked Eye, but he's been up and coming for like 10 years.
Yeah, when, you know, well, speaking of Crooked Eye, I get a Crooked Eye every once in a while when I get too inebriated, but Anyhow, wow, yeah.
Drink?
What you say? All right, so, yeah, the second half of our show tonight, we will talk about, oh, my God, yeah, this is an ongoing thing.
We'll talk about your God?
Well, no, seriously, though, first of all, I should say that coming up on June 7th on our show, June 7th, bitches gotta eat.
Somebody just queefed.
Somebody queefed? God damn. Oh, it smells like rancid vagina or Taco
hey,
Bell
hey,
or something.
Hey.
No.
Not much advice, Mr. Fuji.
No, but seriously, bitches gotta eat, right? You know, coming up.
Bitches gotta eat.
Rancid vagina is not nice. Stale calamari, maybe.
Oh, gross. Calamari.
Gentlemen.
Oh, Lord. Isn't that like some sort of octopus? Yeah, okay, I'm not even going to go there. But anyhow, June 7th, we got Samantha Irby. Samantha Irby, because bitches got to eat.
Yes.
Coming up June 7th, all killer, no filler. I mean, it's going to be a great show. I'm sure she's going to... What's that, Mr.... Mr.
Mr. Dr.
Chris. I have another guy. No, I was saying that I confirmed with her on Wednesday. She will absolutely be here, and so I'm really excited. And you guys have to listen to that audio. You have to.
Well, you're obsessed with her. I mean, if I were her, I'd be very afraid. It's sick. It's... You gonna put a rabbit in her pod? I mean, is she
maybe
Michael Douglas and you're in?
Maybe I already did.
Oh.
But I was gonna say, but dovetailing off that, aside from the fact of my sick Samantha Irby love, anytime you guys are in Chicago, I think we have to have a field trip.
Field trip.
To see, Sam hosts a monthly reading called Guts and Glory.
Okay.
And
you've been to one recently, or?
Yeah, that's where I was Wednesday, and I swear to Christ, I was floored. The premise is, I believe that they have, huh?
She was floored, not snored.
Floored.
Oh, I don't know. I got an echo or something, like you guys are in the bathroom.
No. So anyway, from what I understand, they pick a theme each month. And basically it's people, you know, writing about, you know, these very, very raw experiences.
Oh.
And you will either cry from laughing or laugh from crying. It just, I mean, every single, there was one performance that I wasn't quite happy about, but even that one was still, they were all just incredible. The level of talent, I could not get over. I sat there rapt the whole time like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? So I say, what? Why are you guys laughing at me?
What? All right. Well, okay. All right.
That's my enthusiasm. Okay.
Well.
Whatever.
We have entered the second half of the show where we get into our slumber party mode here, and we
stick to our seats.
Stick to our seats. Jesus Christ, speak
I'm
for
peeling
yourself.
I'm peeling myself off right now.
I use fucking, like, sanitary napkins for that shit, but anyhow.
You take them and you can play Battleship in the tub with the sanitary napkins. You have the boats, the U-boats, and the missiles right there.
Sounds like you have a lot of experience there, Mr. Gosensky, with the battleship.
I gotta keep myself busy at night. I mean, you know, my girlfriend's a nurse in the ER. She's gone all the damn time.
Right.
That's my battleship with tampons and that.
Right. Okay. I get it. I'm you know, your girlfriend's a nurse, and I'm, you know, I'm married to a nurse, too. I know how it goes, and I've been doing it for years.
Nursing.
I don't play Battleship. I make up, like, cooler shit than Battleship. Anyhow, I digress. Because I might get in trouble.
I'm always in trouble.
Join the fucking club.
I mean, I'm a walking hate crime, you know.
You're a walking hate crime, huh?
Yes.
How so? Please elaborate. What's a walking hate crime?
You know me, I offend everyone. Post my racist night.
Do you sometimes like look in the mirror and offend yourself?
Racist and
like
anti-gay at the same time.
Okay. When you offend yourself in the mirror, does it have anything to do with your very precious beard, just out of curiosity?
No, it has to, has to do with my rectal temperature.
Ouch. Wow.
Rectal temperature is very important.
Apparently it is to you. Your rectal temperature. Jesus Christ, I can't even. Yeah. So it makes you feel kind of special.
Special
you
ed.
You
see
the rectal
yes.
temperature thing?
I special ed. I see the short bus I get a heart on.
Oh, God.
All right. So anyhow, I mean, internet dating, okay, guys? I mean, this has been a subject I have found very fascinating for a long time now, and it's something we've kind of been working on, you know, all of us kind of creating like a, I don't know, online little, you know, internet.
Well, you guys did.
See, that's the thing. You need to join into the fun there.
Now there has been something I kind of forgot to mention, maybe.
Oh, really? Please let us. Yeah.
Well,
let us know.
I have a profile. Actually,
you have a profile.
A
okay.
Profile? Oh, I thought there was another P word you were going to say. I have a penis or something. Something I forgot to admit. I have a penis. Go ahead.
Well, you know, during prep time, it's obvious that I'm the only one that has one between you two.
Oh, jeez.
And you're gabbing. But anyway, so, yeah,
hey,
3 years ago.
I have chesticles. What?
Anyway, so it wasn't 3 years ago. 2 years ago, a friend of mine decided that I needed a date after a 3 year spell.
That poor Dickie.
So she made me a profile, which I have yet not gotten rid of because, A, I'm lazy, and, B, sometimes it's fun to see what shows up in my mail. And I notice, I mean, I don't look at this thing for months on end. And because I don't, what do I care? I don't care. But then all of a sudden someone
yeah,
will
right.
say,
she cares. She texts the daily. Are you
two done groaning at each other? Anyway, so then someone will, you know, hey, this guy wants to meet you, and you log in.
Hey, oh my gosh, we have another caller here. On I just noticed. It's been
holding
like a billion hours.
Oh boy!
I'm gonna. Hopefully, this caller can elaborate on you know, internet dating or whatnot. Let's see what's going on here. Hello, caller. You've been waiting for like a billion years. You're on live here. You have something to say. Motherfucker sleeping. All right.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Ed.
I'm more damn nervouser than I've ever been in my damn life.
What does nervouser mean?
I'll tell you what the hell it means. Mr. McCain, I've been voting for you every damn year since 2000. I got to meet Nancy Reagan, but I'm more nervouser tonight than I've ever been in my damn life. I got a weak damn bladder, and I'm liable to let it go right here on the damn floor. I'm going to tell you right now, John McCain, I voted for your ass in 2000. I voted for your ass 4 years later, and damn 4 years after that, and I want you to run. I'm damn nervous talking to you. I'm glad I ain't got to see you face to face. I want you to run in 2016. I'm going to tell you right now, you're the only thing that can save the GOP. Oh, damn it, I can't believe I'm talking to you on here. I've been waiting, Mr. McCain. I want to meet you in person one day. I'm going to get you an autograph. I'm going to have you sign my chest, and I'm going to get it tattooed right across my damn chest like that. John, why are you laughing at me? I'm a dedicated voter. And
Ed, honey.
John, is that you?
Huh?
Is that you, John?
No, it's not. No, it's
John,
not John.
It was Juice, fool. You better recognize.
I don't like that Juice Hardung.
What? Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, compose myself. What do you have against this Hardung guy?
Against who?
A Juice Hardung.
What's that?
You said a Juice Hardung? What'd you say?
You have
it's
a Juice Hardung?
I know.
Do you
I
have, like,
it.
Some sort of fetish for, like,
No. Don't put
juice
words
boxes
in my
or something?
Mouth. No, I got a Juicy Hardung.
You have
it juicy? I mean, is it like a creme brulee? What do you mean it's juicy?
Why don't you find out, Mr. Radio Host?
Find out what?
You find out if it's like damn creme brulee.
About your juice box hard-on or your fetish?
Yeah, you find out
or,
if it's like creme brulee.
Creme.
But if it's juicy, that's probably an STD.
Where the hell's John McCain
anyhow?
Shot for it. I didn't call into this trash show to talk to you. I want to talk to Mr. McCain.
Well, Juice McCain hung up a little while ago, buddy.
No, he doesn't want to talk to Juice McCain. He wants to talk to John McCain.
And this caught ass here left me waiting. I fell a damn sleep. That's what happened to me.
And you.
Yeah, well, he's happy for your vote. He's glad you're supporting him, and right on. Ride that lawnmower.
Thank you. Don't give me any ideas in the middle of the night, I'll tell you that right now. The thing is, I got a damn profile on OkCupid.
Yeah, how's that going for you?
It's going real good. Rhonda, the damn asshole that she is, doesn't give me any vagina no more. So the thing is, I told her ass, I says, you gotta, in other words, I'm going to go find it somewhere so you don't give it to me, is what I told her ass. And I went out there on OkCupid, it's free and everything else, and I got me a damn profile. And I'll tell you right now, I've got every damn gal in town after my hiney, boy, I'll tell you that right now.
Oh,
the thing
yeah?
is, yes, that's right.
Yeah, well,
you ever,
describe what
I don't doubt it, Ed. I don't. I'm just listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, describe what your profile picture looks like, or describe your profile. I mean,
well, I put my damn Stetson on and I stood in the bathroom mirror there and I took a damn picture.
So did you do the standard duck lips to make you look kind of sexy?
Oh, man. No, I put my dentures in, but the thing is, the only thing I was wearing in the picture was my damn Stetson. And I'll tell you this right now.
Oh, so took a cheesecake picture.
What's that?
I said you took a cheesecake picture.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Cheesecake?
Yeah, I can't understand her either half the time.
Is that what you call a cheesecake?
What's a
cheesecake? Yes, you've never heard it called cheesecake pictures.
No, man.
Well, I guess you're juicy. Ooh, juicy is cheesecake, I guess.
What does that mean, anyhow, cheesecake?
I don't know what you're packing, but if it looks like cheesecake, you need medical attention.
What the hell does that mean, cheesecake? I never heard of that.
Cheesecake photos. Hold
what
on.
What does that mean?
Get help. And if it looks like cheese, get help.
I never
heard
of that. But I'll tell you what I've done. I took this gal. She contacted me on OKCupid. Said Ed, I really like you. I read all through your profile and all that, and I'd like to meet you up. So damn, Rhonda went down to the grocery store, and I told her, come on by. I'm just gonna be mowing a damn lawn. I'll tell you what. You ever screwed a gal while driving a John Deere in a figure eight in the backyard? I'll tell you, I have.
Yeah, well, you got to watch the carburetor. You don't want her to bump into the carburetor.
No. Now, Michelle, I don't think you bumped into any carburetor, now, did you? You sat right up there on the steering wheel. You seem like you did just fine.
Well,
I didn't hear any damn
coffee.
Complaining. I didn't hear any damn
coffee.
Complaining.
Well, Michelle... Some of these shrubs got trimmed.
What's that?
I said some of these shrubs got trimmed.
Yeah.
What's going on with the shawl? She's choking on Girl Scout cookies right now? Or is that her emphysema?
She's still recovering from the figure eight. I can tell you that right now.
She was giving Ed some vaginays to go with this sandwich.
I thought
you said we weren't going to talk about this.
We were going to talk about goddamn internet dating and the pros and cons and the beauty of it.
Apparently, Michelle does riding lawnmower dating.
Riding lawnmower dating. Wow, that's hot. You know, I mean,
heads greased.
Now, I'll tell you a pro of online dating is the fact that you can have the possibility of getting laid. A con of that is the fact if you got a damn Rhonda, you got to sneak around all the damn time. But on the internet, you know what I'm saying? You can put any damn thing down there. I could say I'm a damn millionaire. How are they gonna know? Till they come to my damn house.
Right, shit, man.
Yeah,
shit. Yeah, shit, I mean, goddamn. You have no idea how many times I've got laid because...
Better watch out, though, Ed. You don't want to get blue waffle or something and share it with Rhonda.
Blue waffle is a mess.
Yeah, speaking of Rhonda, Ed, have you ever engaged in a menage a trois with Rhonda?
No, as a matter of fact, I have.
Really? All right. I'd love to hear about it.
Well, what the hell do you want to know, friend?
I'd like to know all about you and Rhonda and your menage a trois experience. Menage
a
trois,
one,
you know,
friend?
That's a fancy French word for a threesome.
Just
FYI.
Oh. I thought you meant that ham... No, man. We got our wires crossed somewhere, friend. I thought you meant Olive Garden.
Olive Garden? Yeah. Okay. All right, then. What do you and Rhonda do explicitly to each other at the Olive Garden? That's even hotter.
Well, we don't do
they
a damn thing
Bible
at the Olive
verses.
Garden. I thought you was talking about French fruit like down there at the Olive Garden. I didn't know that word you said.
So do you... When you guys talk dirty to each other, do you read each other Bible verses? What do you do?
No, we don't read no damn Bible verses. I'll tell you this. The only thing I think it could be considered kinky, and I have talked to my family doctor about this.
Because that's the first person you should consult when feeling kinky, the family doctor. Yeah, go ahead.
The thing is, over the years, for some damn reason or another, I cannot climax unless Lee Greenwood is playing Proud to Be an American in the background. I put it on the tape player. I don't know why, but I cannot climax. I have humped and humped and humped. Rhonda says, get the hell off me and put Lee Greenwood on so we can get this shit over and I can get to bed.
Okay. Oh. All right. Well, when you say you put it in a tape player, is it cassette tape, 8-track? I mean, that's important. I mean, there's a difference on the sound.
Man, it's cassette, man. What it is, it's a 190-minute cassette, and that song is on there. All of A side and all of B side.
How dare you fornicate to something like that?
I think about it like this. When I was younger, you could say that I was reproducing good Americans. Now the fact that my ejaculation now is pure water.
Oh, God.
The thing is, I don't have no more semen in there. It's all just... No, it's all semen. It ain't no them swimming things on there.
Yeah?
Them things. What are
semen,
them? Sperm heads.
So,
sperm heads.
So what you're saying is...
With the wiggle tail.
So what you're saying is if we were out in the desert and
yes,
it was hot, and it wouldn't be gay.
For you to drink my semen?
Yes.
No, it wouldn't be gay. And the thing is, think about this, like, you watching them programs on television where the airplanes crash and people got, I shouldn't be alive or whatever the hell. Now, think about this. Now, why the hell don't the men ever do like a 69 out in the middle of the desert?
Right.
For damn survival, and I wouldn't say nothing if you wouldn't say nothing, and we could go fishing like nothing ever happens.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's survival.
That's right.
Gotta have fluids.
Right, yeah. Gotta stay hydrated
day,
one way or another, right?
That's right. On the fifth day, we both laid down in the middle of the desert and started sucking each other's cocks because we knew
we was going to die
dehydrated.
It'd be milking. It's like a milking of the teeth or something.
Actually, that's kind of a turn on. Actually, now that you think, speak of that, I feel like getting in an airplane crash with you.
Airplane crash. Yeah. See that?
Oh,
wow.
It's already a train wreck.
What's that?
I said it's already a train wreck over here.
That's not a train wreck. We're talking about goddamn airplanes crashing and shit. Get with the program.
Well,
honey.
I was getting all kind of like Bear Grylls, you know. I wanted to know about survival.
Right. I told you what survival was. It was a 69er down there in the middle of the damn desert.
That's what I'm saying. If there's no, you know, if there's no bullets in your gun, it's not really considered gay, right?
All right. I have a question for Michelle Quinn here. Now, here's the thing. All right.
Okay.
Now, Michelle Quinn, you're on this, man. You're stranded, man. The plane crashes. You freaking survive. And me and you survive. And Michael Gishabinsky over there survive. And Brian survive. Now, here's the thing. We all urinate on each other and all that. But the thing is, we already did everything we could do. And see, our bodies aren't going to produce any more of that because we ain't taking in no damn water. And we ain't going to produce no semen after we're 69 and all that. Would you feel an obligation for us to eat your vagina? Like the lubricant of it. I don't mean to get you off. I don't mean to get you off for sexual or nothing like that. This is pure survival, like Mr. Gosiewski said.
This is better than internet
good,
porn.
Right?
This is, yeah, I'm getting hot
took,
right now. And I must admit, I'm stroking myself. Keep going.
I'm sorry. But the thing is, you could even take like your underwears and stick it in your crotch hole and then wring it out.
Well, someone, yeah, you know, someone
you
is so wet, they can just, you know, drip the fluid.
Right, and you just wring it out over our mouth. We, like, go down on all four.
Yeah, it's like coconut milk. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Coconut milk.
It's perfect. It's like coconut milk, man.
You figure babies come out of there, that's a life-supporting area, and that's going to support our life in the desert.
Right.
And Michelle, if I passed you on the street, I ran into you down at AutoZone, I'd act like nothing ever happened. Hello, old pal. Nice to see you.
Well, Ed, it's survival.
It's survival, my friend.
Yeah.
I could fish with you, Michael, after I had your cock in my mouth. If it was survival.
What? It's survival. You know, but with a woman, you might get dessert, strawberry shortcake or something.
Oh, this, you know what? This is very Darwinian. I mean, very survival of the fittest, survival of, you know, the cocksuckers in the desert.
What?
I mean, Jesus Christ. I just came twice in my fucking man panties. This is beautiful. Wow.
It's no different than, like, desert island discs. You know, ask a musician, what would you have on a desert island, you know, right, or is it, we got to survive.
Yeah, I'll tell you that right now. Here's the difference, Michael Gushinsky, right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, the thing is, it's good all day long if we're stranded in the desert and we have no damn way out. But if I come over to your house for a hockey game and I end up blowing you on the couch, then we're homos. I mean, we're homos tried and true. Or at least bisexual.
But it would depend. It would depend. If we're shooting blanks, would it really be homo?
It's homo, my friend, because I could just get up and go get me a beverage out of your fridge, you know?
Yeah, but a patch has nothing on my cock, man. Come on.
But I ain't interested in your cock sexually. I'm interested in your cock for survival mode, friend.
It'd be like a yeast thing, you know, you see? Like a patch.
Wait a second, you guys baking bread together in the desert?
Oh,
are you
hitting on me?
No, I'm getting confused here.
I'm a married man if you're hitting on me, Michael.
I'm not hitting on you. I'm just talking about the fermentation that's involved. There's beer and cocks.
But I ain't giving you no blowjob on your couch. I'm telling you
it's
that right now.
It's not a blowjob.
If I can get up and get a damn drink, it's different than laying in the damn desert and dying and needing your cum or urine in my mouth.
No, it's not a eating or a blowjob or any of that. It's a medical injection.
I'm going to tell you something right now. You are not going to coax me into blowing you. I'm going to tell you that right now, unless we're dying in the desert somewhere, my friend.
Oh,
yeah, my
damn.
God. He's
kind of like a... I would hope you didn't bottle...
He's kind of like a homosexual strong arm man. He's trying to twist my arm into. Just come over here on the couch.
If you blow, it would probably tickle.
You gotta be kidding me.
That would. It would tickle.
You guys. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break so we can all go pee and we can reconverge here and, you know, celebrate a little bit more and not cough like some sort of, you know, consumption type person. And reconverge here and we can talk about internet dating and the pros and cons. And, you know, I think we've gone way beyond that at this point. But you know what? We're going to take a quick break here and listen to this. Listen to this. Oh my gosh. This is I grew a beard because.
This is a bunch of bullshit. This
I grew a beard because. I grew a beard because Indiana was a 19th state admitted to the Union. I grew a beard because mustard tastes better.
If everybody's on the toilet, make sure you save your damn urine.
I grew a beard because Ginsburg was sexy as King of Maine.
Algerian
I grew a beard because I resemble 12-year-old boy when I shave.
I grew up here because I am supreme lord of mismatched socks. I grew up here because every sort of supreme lord should have a beard.
You hear Dick trickle down?
I grew up here because I can't find a job, and a job can't seem to find me. I grew up here because I stapled my thumb to the rain. I
this
grew
is the worst shit I've ever heard
from
Dan
Lundberg while I'm train rumbling through Arizona desert and spring.
I'd rather hear.
I grew up here to ward off the incessant swirling snake winding through my dreams. I grew up here because my confirmation name is Angus. I grew up here because phantoms are always running around asking for the key. I grew up here because she exists and he exists and she exists and she exists. I grew up here to protest the idiotic mandible of Earth. I grew up here like a garden of brownish orange weeds. I grew up here because I clean in my underwear strumming.
I got this right down, I wrote this.
I grew up here because it's 44 minutes after
midnight. Man.
I grew up here because there are uniform stickers affixed to the letters, and the letters arrive daily in my small corner of
existence.
And I thank the people who take the time to mail letters with unicorn stickers affixed to them. And hopefully I'm able to continue making post office box payments, which will prevent the post office worker from locking my post office box and probably returning my mail to sender, and or tossing all the unicorn sticker-laden letters in the trash heap. And yesterday the low fuel light was on the car, and the papal prophecies of Malachi are perhaps most interesting now, as we near election of Peter the Roman, supposedly as successor the current Benedict XVI. And most days I get tired and stare at my foreface in my bathroom mirror under the pale dim light and run cold water and splash my face. Though I've always secretly wanted to fill the kitchen sink with water and ice cubes and dunk my face and sing a few lines the way Huey Lewis did in the video too. I won a new drug in 1984.
Damn shit I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
It sounds like Michelle Quinn would probably put that in her damn iPod.
I bet she would. Good Lord, especially if she's like on the road or something, you know. Wow.
I know.
Like a set list.
That shit was terrible.
All right, so yeah, here we are. And, you know, we really, I think it's really important we talk about that. You know, internet dating and, you know, finding that connection to someone special online. I mean, seriously, that it's the new age and new way of meeting people and connecting and, you know, maybe getting laid. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, shit. There's got to be, like, tons of people who, you know, who can relate to this and talk about it. And, you know, I really want to, you know, something I want to focus on because it's the new reality. It's the new, you know, fucking, yeah, go to the bar, hang out, and, you know, do the little head dancing and shit, you know, with the music and all that, and while holding your beer and, like, oh, yeah. But you know what? The internet, it's the new age, I mean, in every way. And I think more and more people are connecting and relating on the internet. And I find it very, very intriguing, and it's something I want to explore and continue to explore here.
Brian?
On the show.
Do you have a straight profile on the internet?
Do I have a straight profile?
I don't.
I mean, you don't have one.
I got Daddy Hunt, Ed. I have daddyhunt.com.
And how that worked out for you there, Mr. Gaczynski?
Well, I feel like a meat-sickle.
A meat-sickle, huh? Does that make you feel good or proud?
They want me to be glazed and confused.
Glazed and confused, huh? Well,
they
want to
make me a donut.
I mean, do you feel, you know, I don't know,
Do you feel good about that? Do you feel intrigued, or do you feel flattered that, like, a billion gay men are trying to hit on you?
Well, you know, I feel kind of crusty.
You feel what? Crusty?
Kind of crusty, yeah.
Why crusty?
I just feel stale and crusty. You know, every
stale
time I move, I feel like I'm, you know, I'm a glazed donut. I don't. It's hard to explain.
Hard to explain.
It's a weird.
Huh?
You know, I didn't put my pictures up or nothing. I put someone else's, so
okay.
I'm all right.
All right, so, you know, wow, donut metaphors really don't work for me. glazed and crusty, huh? Sounds more like something I would get from Long John Silver's, but anyhow.
I'm not like, you know, a walking tub of tartar sauce or nothing. I mean,
you're not? All right. But then why can't you, like, elaborate a little bit more on, you know, your whole experience with the gay crusty stuff.
Michael, are you bisexual?
No, Ed. They want to play the Lone Ranger and they want me to be Tonto. I mean, ride bareback.
Tonto, huh?
Yeah. And we ride bareback.
You have something against American Indians or Native Americans.
Not really, but I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be responsible for their teepee.
Don't want to Okay. I can see that. You're in the no teepee zone. Excellent. All right.
That's me. I don't want to be responsible for the teepee.
Well, what about you, Dr. Quinn? I'm sure you've been on some sites. I mean, come on.
I was starting to tell you guys before Ed came in and, you know.
No, don't. This is about you and you being on, you know, internet, you know, dating sites. Come on.
Right. Well, what specifically is the question?
I asked you, have you been on some sites? And what has your experience actually been? I mean, elaborate and tell us. People, inquiring minds want to know. Remember those advertisements from the 80s?
Yes. I met the 28-year-old off the Plenty of Fish.
You met a 28-year-old? Jesus, cougar.
Cougar. I have a profile on cougarlife.com, by the way.
30 years? That's
not
a big difference.
No, it wasn't Cougar Life.
Okay, well, then how do you meet him? I mean, what happened? I mean, how did... this is very intriguing to me. I find this very intriguing.
Okay,
when you leave a snake, you know, a snail trail, what do you do?
Jesus Christ. As I was starting to tell you...
Mm-hmm.
After my girlfriend made this profile of me on this site.
Your girlfriend, huh? Okay.
Yes, my girlfriend.
This keeps getting better and better. You got a girlfriend who made a profile for you, and you hooked up with a younger boy. All right.
Girl, not... Jesus. Anyway.
Okay.
Within a day,
Within a day. Okay. Sorry. You just keep getting better and better. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Stop it. Anyway. So, yeah. I...
You what? Get to the point, damn it. You what? You stuck to the floor? What'd you do?
No.
Come on now. Come on. Give it up.
I'm trying.
Okay.
Anyway.
Are you regurgitating it into your toilet or something? Or?
No.
Oh, okay,
no.
All right. Then, please.
Anyway.
Inquiring minds want to know.
I want to know.
We all want to know.
I bet you do, Ed.
I'm trying to tell you. Within a day... He messaged me, and the rest, they say, is history.
No. That's not the History Channel, like, quick response
history.
We wanted.
Yeah.
I
mean, explicit.
Details, motherfucker. Details.
You getting the crabs? I mean, what's the rest of his history? God.
Did he have a small penis?
Yeah, exactly. Was he circumcised? I mean, we want to know.
Yeah. And if he wasn't circumcised,
circumcised,
it's all that extra, like, you know, foreskin kind of smell funny.
No. Yes, he is circumcised. No, he is not small.
All right. But then how big is he?
Yeah, how big is he?
You're not really asking me that question, are you?
Yeah.
Well, yes, I am, as a matter of fact.
It's out there in internet land, yeah. In Blog Talk Radio land. How big? I mean, come on.
4 inches?
I mean, can we...
4 inches flaccid? 4 inches?
Of the chat box on Facebook.
What? Michael?
The size of the chat book on Facebook.
The size of the chat box?
On Facebook. Was it at least that big? Okay, good.
It is better than the chat box on Facebook, yes.
It's better than
what?
I hope
so. The chat box on Facebook.
Well, that thing's like half an inch wide. Anything's bigger than that.
You know what? The only way you can really judge a motherfucking man is by the size of his chap book.
Yes,
Yeah.
Oh, chap book.
His chap book, yeah. So, if you had...
Well, some of us don't have chap books.
Chap books, yeah. Well, you know, most of us don't need them.
Some of us think reading's for homos.
Yes, Ed. Yes, Ed. You're right. And communists.
Yes,
so
right.
if Dr. Quinn, if you were trying to rate the size of the penis of this younger fella you met, chapbook wise, I mean, if you had to title the chapbook, you know, what would you title it to rate his, you know, penis size? What would you title it?
It'd be called the Thumb Dick Sonnets.
Figure eights on a riding lawnmower.
Figure eights on a riding lawnmower, huh?
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Wow, that's
goofy
that sounds
looking.
Big.
It was crooked? Is that what you're saying? It was crooked?
Sounds like it's crooked and it's pretty big. Damn.
For those hard to read spots? For those hard to read spots? Hard to reach spots.
Wow, Dr. Quinn, you're very, you know, very, very lucky gal.
Mushroom head. I mean, what? Come on, we want some description here.
Yeah.
We want to know.
Yeah. Elaborate. Come on, Dr. Quinn.
Was it like a Roto Rooter? Was it bumpy?
No, it wasn't like a Roto Rooter.
Okay,
all right.
With the lights on?
Did you look him in the eyes? Did you make eye contact?
Yeah.
You guys pump in the dark or something?
Yes, it is.
Did you have an itching afterwards?
No.
Did you make your own cream cheese?
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, God.
No.
What strawberry filling?
What?
What?
No cheese, no disease, gentlemen.
Oh, well,
that's disappointing. Okay.
Well, maybe for you, right?
You could have rather me gotten something disgusting.
For those of us who believe sex is out of the Bible, and it's, you know, no disease is good.
Well.
Ed can agree with me, I'm sure.
What now? Okay, one funny thing I guess I can tell you.
Okay,
there
that's
you
what... No, okay.
Give us something.
Here we go. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. One funny thing she can tell us. All right.
It is always in the backyard, outside.
What?
Bestiality is illegal, Michelle. Don't mention it on the radio.
It's not bestiality if it stands up on two legs.
Well, if it's not bestiality, then you're going to get a splinter.
Yeah, that's a good point I think he made. The thing is,
if it's in the backyard, what the hell?
Why on earth would you screw in a damn backyard every time? I enjoy my lawn just as much as the next guy, but I'm telling you this, I don't want to screw on it every night.
Yeah.
Ditto. Ditto, goddammit.
It's always in the backyard. And if it's rusty, you probably need a tetanus shot.
Yeah, that man knows what he's talking about. You can tell he dates a nurse.
Shit.
That's it. Michelle, come on. You got to give us more. We only have 9 minutes, Michelle. Come on, give us something more.
I've already said too much.
Dr. Quinn, you have not been explicit enough. We'll reserve that for a future show.
Did you guys ever pretend like you was crashed in the desert in 69 out in the backyard?
Oh, no, there was.
Yes, actually, Ed, I did. But there was a record player, and that record player was playing the most beautiful Neil Diamond tunes.
Oh, yeah.
But, see, you know what I'm talking about, Ed. Oh,
yeah, I do
beautiful.
Know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, I do.
Classic.
You can't roll around in your damn lawn 69 and all damn night anyhow. Who the hell wants to do that?
No,
I do it.
Only Michelle, Mr. Mrs.
I don't mind it every now and again, but then after a while I want to go get a Mr. Pibb and head back in and watch the tractor poles or something.
Mr.
You know?
Pibb is, yeah. Mr. Pibb is the shit. He's like the ultimate motherfucker, generic Dr.
Like my,
Pepper.
Yeah. I like my ruby red squirt.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's good. So do I.
Right there. So, meanwhile, Michelle's not telling us how she's getting, you know, venereal disease. She's just ignoring the...
Why do you got to go there? Why do you think I'm getting diseased here?
I don't know. You're not telling us about it, so something's going on. You're not telling us about it, so something's going on. What's, you know, I mean...
Well, Dr. Quinn, you're hooking up with a 28-year-old guy. I mean, he's like half our fucking age.
Are you bumping tacos?
No, he is. It's slinging tacos, and no, I'm old enough to be his mother in most southern states.
You're old enough to be his mother, huh?
Oh well.
Wow. See, that's a whole different dynamic there. Wow.
Do you breastfeed him?
I clarified that in certain southern states and other third world countries.
Third world countries?
Wow.
The hell
man,
are you doing with him that you need to bring up third world countries?
It's a 15-year age difference.
He's 15. Yeah. What?
Stop it.
Okay. Wow. You know what? This is fodder for a completely different show. This is something we've gotta definitely highlight in an upcoming show. And even the Ed Standish guy, we all need to make and create some sort of mutual.
I'm not jacking you off.
I was hoping that Dash would 69 me in the desert, but
it's,
anyhow.
It's not called jacking off, Ed. It's called shifting gears.
You got to be kidding me.
You'd be shifting gears, Ed. Come on.
Shift them. Shift it. So anyhow, all right, guys. You know, we're gonna take a quick break. Here, we've got like 5 minutes left, and we're just gonna take a quick break. Come back, and you know what? Future show, all of us, we create special fucking, you know, little thingies on some sort of, you know, dating network and flirt with each other and fuck and talk about it online. All right, be right back. Here we go.
Hey, cut out that Chicago shit. Trailer.
Singer, Roger.
No phone.
No whips. I ain't got no cigarettes. All but a few hours of pushing through. Buys a 8x12 Ford pickup. I'm a man of means by the king of the road. Dirt bottom on me, tight train.
Tell you what.